Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the week 11 edition of the walkthrough. I'm your host, Matty Kiwum, joined, of course, by my right-hand man, Mr. Cody Carpentier. Cody, how the hell are you?
I'm doing, brother. We're getting there. We're hammering. We're about, a week now? 2 weeks from Thanksgiving? That's officially when the wall hits. No hurdle this week. We'll be back next week with the hurdle live on the YouTube channel. But here we are, another week of the walkthrough, walking through the best games. I'm excited. This is a good, strong, solid slate. We get the Octobox in the afternoon, in the noon slate. And then we got three, I think, really good games in the afternoon. We really get to focus in on this Chiefs-Bills thing. So I'm ready to talk about all of it with you, brother.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's a good slate. Week 11's pretty solid. I'm excited to dive into it. Of course, we'll start here. Four teams on bye: Cardinals, Panthers, Giants, and Buccaneers. All on bye. Four teams on bye. So let's just dive right into matchup number one. Man, a few weeks ago, I thought this was going to be a showdown. It's proving to go in the other direction. But the 6-3 Green Bay Packers head to Chicago to take on the 4-5 Bears. The Bears are 5-point home underdogs. The over-under of 40.5 is not all that exciting for us fantasy gamers. But let's start here. What is going to be the outcome for the Chicago Bears post-Shane Waldron?
I don't think they get the boost that we're used to with like losing a head coach. They're obviously going to get a little bit of an adjustment in how this offense kind of opens up. 97% of the money is on the Packers at Soldier Field. You would think Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback against Mitchell Trubisky or something right here, but not quite. I do think the Bears have a little bit of a chance here against the Packers. As far as the receivers, and that's the place I'm going to directly start here, is the wide receivers, Maddie. Mm-hmm. For Chicago, it's been, in my opinion, abysmal. I put all three of these wide receivers back to back to back. I play coward in this one. Moore's averaging 7.3 targets per game, Keenan Allen 6.8, and Rome Odunze 5.56. None of them have been able to average more than five catches a game, 4.4, 3.7, 3.1 respectively in the same direction. Expected fantasy points is all 10 and under. Like, this has got to be one of the biggest letdowns of the entire season, is this offense in Chicago, even though we have gotten, you know, a little bit of gas out of DeAndre Swift as the season has begun. But do you have a favorite of these wide receivers? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Like I said, I have them ranked 32, 33, 34, and I just don't know. You know, I have Odunze at the top of that stack, but like I said, they're all back to back to back.
So no, I don't. I they're all sits for me, the entire offense. Maybe sits? I'll play Swift. I'm sitting as many of them as I can. So looking at the wide receiver ranks, I start with DJ Moore at 32. So right lockstep with you there. And then I have Keenan Allen at 42, Dunze at 47. You can switch all those names around. The reason why I do have DJ Moore at the top is one thing that is undeniable is that he got the biggest contract in franchise history. If they are going to appease someone in this passing hierarchy, it's 100% going to be DJ Moore. And when you watch how they're using him and what made him specifically so successful last year, they're not doing this year. They're putting Keenan Allen in the role that he was so good in last year. So I'm still leaving the door open for that pivot, for getting Shane Waldron out of here, allows them to put DJ Moore in the positions to win that he won last year. But in terms of this week, I'm staying away from all of it. Caleb's outside of my top 20. All the receivers are outside of my top 30. Even DeAndre Swift, I'm at running back 20. I don't love that. Even the matchup's not good. I think this could be and I'll ask you this before we talk about the Packers. This could be terrible, but there could be some hope. But the question I'm asking you is, what would this Bears offense have to look like for you to have hope? Would they have to score a ton of points and look back? Or are there just slight adjustments that would get you going, all right, I'm excited for next week. I'm excited for the week after.
Points would be a good starter. Points would be a great starter. I mean, they didn't play great teams before the bye, Carolina and Jacksonville. They combined for 71 points in those two games combined, 71 to 26 in wins against Panthers and Jacksonville, two teams that you should win, and they did win. And they've played Washington, Arizona, New England since the bye, and they've literally scored 27 points. And it's gotten worse week after week after week, and that's obviously why we saw Shane Waldron take the old knife. But now you got back, you got back-to-back-to-back divisional games, two home, and then they go to Detroit before going to San Fran, before going to Minnesota, before getting back home to Detroit. It's a gauntlet. You got to start scoring points. And quite honestly, the easiest defense you're going to play through the next 6 weeks is this one right here against Green Bay.
You got to do something. Oh. I agree. You got to put up some points here.
My one question with the Packers or with the Bears here, though, Caleb Williams or Anthony Richardson?
Caleb. It's not even close. It's Caleb for me. In terms of this week or in terms of dynasty value?
Today.
For this week?
Week 11.
Oh, no. This week I have Richardson higher.
Yeah.
In this week I have Richardson higher. I just, you know, in a weekly. But in terms of their overall dynasty value, I'm still Caleb.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about week 11.
Got it. No, I got Richardson higher. Anything on the Packers? For me, I'm looking at my rankings here. They're all just kind of depressed a little bit. But I'm still playing Jacobs. I'm okay playing Reed. I'm okay playing Dubs or Watson in terms of a flex play, but I'm not all that excited about any of them. How do you have the Packers stacked up this week?
Reed's my top dog here. I think this is a game. These divisional games are where guys like Reed, guys like we talked about before, Debo, these divisional games is when things get tighter and when your playmakers make plays. And you maybe see a carry from Jaden Reed in this game. We've seen him take I think last year he had a rushing touchdown against the Bears. Dobbs, I have him right at 40. Watson, about 10 spots lower. There's interesting names I would play over Watson. I can't remember what the number was, but I took it today on the prop market with Christian Watson. I want to say it was like receptions. I think it might have been lower on receptions for him. I don't know if I can pull it up in time while I'm talking here. I didn't take it. I think it was like 3.5 receptions. Anyway, nonetheless, I feel very indifferent about Christian Watson. Guys I put ahead of him today or this weekend, Kayshon Boutte, Xavier Worthy, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, don't love any of that, but I did it because I just feel a little bit better. But like I said, I don't love it.
All right, let's keep the train moving to the next game here. The Las Vegas Raiders coming off a bye take on the Miami Dolphins in South Beach, a battle of 2-7 versus 3-6. The Miami Dolphins are favored by a touchdown at home. Over under 44 is about middle of the slate. It's a tough matchup for the pass catchers for the Miami Dolphins on paper. So let's start there. What do you think about Tyreek Hill and his kind of slow few games? And what do you think about Jaylen Waddle? Is he DEA dead for fantasy this year?
Brother, this damn Jaylen Waddle thing it's something. The Tyreek said that he may undergo surgery on his wrist injury that limited him at practice last week, but any procedure wouldn't be until the season ends. So that's positive, but he is playing through that injury. I think I took the number on Waddle last week of like 43 receiving yards. He ended up with 55 in like the first quarter, didn't touch the ball again the rest of the game, which was underwhelming. His number again this week is 45.5. I'm taking it higher. But like we talked about last week, and I'm doing the same thing we talked about like the last couple of weeks, he has literally, Jaylen Waddle, yet to finish inside the top 35 since week one when he was wide receiver 16. Maddie, last week, get this, dun-dun-dun-dun, wide receiver 35 again. So guess where I ranked him, wide receiver 35. You get what you give, and he's been giving us wide receiver 35, so I'm just going to sit him there, the literal stone bottom of wide receiver 3 territory. You can enter yourself into the Jacoby Myers and Marquez Valdes-Scantling chat, Mr. Waddle, because that's where you are and that's where you'll be. And the only player that I really feel the best about in this game for Miami is Achan. And that's because of this receiving work he's gotten, which has been, to me, rather surprising. I didn't expect this guy to average 5 targets a game. And it's, you know, it's one thing to get his efficiency out of the backfield. It's another thing to get his efficiency out in space. So Achan's a top 5 play for me this week. Jonnu Smith, interestingly enough, has been pretty strong the last month and a half. Number 7 matchup on the Rosh Roach matchup tool. I got him as at 15. This is one of these guys that I'm going to continue to adjust as the week goes by. I got the SiriusXM show on Saturday, start sit on Sunday, and I'm probably going to continue to talk about Jonnu, probably just bump. I got him at 15. I could see him moving up to like 10 or 11 where I have Laporta and Tucker Kraft right now. So that's where I sit with Miami. And then Las Vegas. I'm not going to talk about Las Vegas. That's Bowers, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't have much to add, even down to the fact that I got Waddle at wide receiver 36. Means we are lockstep there. And you say he's in the Jacoby Myers range? Brother, I got Jacoby Myers as a top 24 player. He's been getting a shitload of targets over these last few weeks. Give me Myers over Waddle in spades. I mean, the guy, like you said, he looked awesome. He's definitely still a good player, but the way he's being used makes no sense at all. But this week at the stone bottom of the wide receiver 3 ranks.
So are you going, so you got Myers like in what, like maybe Drake London tier, Drake London area?
He's a little bit lower than the Drake London tier. He's in the Jaden Reed, Tank Dell, JSN tier.
Okay. JSN was the other name I was going to bring up, and I wanted to see where.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's up there for me. Next game, though, we're going to talk about the Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots in Foxborough, 4-5 versus 3-7. Despite coming off a win against the Bears, the Patriots are nearly a touchdown underdog at home. Over-under of 43.5 is actually down from where it opened earlier this week. So what do we think here? It's going to be a nice day in Foxborough. A little chilly, but nice. So it shouldn't be a weather issue. What is going on with this over-under? Why is it going down? Are we going to see a defensive affair?
Did you see what John Gruden said about Drake May? And I think it was Drake May and Caleb were the two he was talking about. Did you see what he said?
Last night on the Barstool live stream, I did. I did see that this morning.
Yeah. Maybe the tide's turning here in New England. I don't know. I don't know if the tide's turning or not. It kind of feels like it a little bit. Again, I know they just beat a bad Bears team. But you could argue they should have won that game against Tennessee. That would give them a 3-game win streak had they won that Tennessee game. And, you know, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Rams or anything, but the Rams kind of took a step back last week. I thought that was a game that they could have kept stacking and that the Rams were going to be, you know, I guess what I'm saying is a week ago, if you were to ask me, hey, week 11, Pats Rams, I'd say Rams are favored by 9.5, even on the road. Like it would be closing in on that 10 point home dog, it'd be closing in on that number for me. And now today it's like, well, the Rams just had a letdown at home against the Dolphins in primetime, and the Pats got a big win against the Bears in Chicago. And I kind of have very different thoughts for this game overall, where, like, you know, I can draw you a circle and begin with a Patriots win and come all the way back around to a Patriots win while talking about this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm less worried about the Rams if I'm the Patriots. Drake May's playing better football. From a fantasy football perspective, though, generally, like I said, I'm going to continue to mostly fade New England. Hunter Henry has been pretty consistent. He's got a top five matchup this week against the Rams. We're getting about 9 fantasy points per game from him, about 6 targets. He's been about that favorite guy in New England right now. And then on the other side for the Rams, what are we doing here? Cup, Puka, Kyron. I would like to know where you have Matty Ball games at, though, because I think this is his first game with the Rams against I just tried to look it up a minute ago. First game with the Rams against the Patriots. He hasn't played the Patriots since 2018. He's only played them twice. And the only time he's been in Foxborough was 2014. I know the team's different now than what it was in 2014, obviously, but that was a decade ago. Matty Ballgames was 18 for 46 in that game. Interesting. I don't know. Not worth a damn. That doesn't mean shit, but I just thought it was interesting.
No, it's definitely interesting. So for a betting standpoint, I'm actually really kind of excited about two parts of the betting side of things. I think taking Patriot points is a lock. I just don't see this team getting blown out at home like this. I mean, especially when you look at the Rams, their average margin of victory is only 6 points. Mm-hmm. And Christian Barmore might play. West Coast team going to the East Coast. So I like taking the points. I don't know if the Patriots win. I don't think they have the firepower to ultimately beat the Rams. They have the 31st ranked D offense in the league. But what Drake May's causing here is he is allowing bettors, and I have to look at the numbers. This is just a feeling, but I'm having a feeling that the under has won pretty predominantly over the last few weeks because the Drake May effect continues to elevate the over-under, but these scores don't reflect it. I mean, what did they beat the Bears by? It was a over-under was probably 38, and the final was, what, 25 total points, 26 total points? It wasn't a lot of scoring. Patriots defense is solid. Rams defense is a lot better than I had thought. So I don't know if there's a lot of scoring in this game. I think I like the under, and I like taking the Patriots with points. From a fantasy standpoint, I can't really just push back on anything. I'm playing my Rams because you can't not play your Rams. You're a mm-hmm. little bit nervous, but you got to play them. Other than I do have Stafford at 21, so there's probably another quarterback you're playing. But in terms of Cup, volume's been there. Nacua, the skills through the roof. You're not going to bench Nacua. And then, of course, Kyren. Even in a down week, he had 11 fantasy points last week. You're going to play Kyren Williams. I got him down in terms of where I usually have him, but he's still a top five play. So I like that there. Let's move on to the next game, shall we? Cleveland Browns, again, coming off a bye week. Head down to NOLA to take on the New Orleans Saints, a battle 2-7 versus 3-7. Basically a pick 'em game here. The Browns are actually 1-point favorites on the road. Over under, though, of 42.5 is kind of cuckoo caca, poo-poo caca for fantasy. Take it wherever you want, because right now I only look at one player that I'm excited about in fantasy. I wonder if we both have the same idea there.
Brother, this game is not going to be 44.5. I'm calling my shot. This one's going to be 60. It's going to be a high scoring game. Remember that ride we took from the restaurant to the ball game last year on Thursday Night Football?
I remember.
And he was telling us how much the city hated Derek Carr and how much they wanted Jameis Winston to be the starting quarterback. And now Jameis gets to go back to NOLA with said Tilly, David Njoku, you know, a Chubb getting healthy on that turf, indoors, 1 o'clock kick. Saints are coming off of an emotional win. This is the you know, you always hear the head coach gets fired, bounce back, right? That assistant coach gets that dub right away. Has anybody done a study on that second game? Because that second game feels like a fucking trap from hell right here.
Yeah.
Cleveland, you know, I took Jameis and Cedric Tillman higher passing and receiving yards today. This is not a homecoming for Jameis, but I think it's a going back to NOLA. Like, he's just got emotions here. I mean, he played against these guys when he was in Tampa. How many times he played for New Orleans the last couple years? Didn't really get a fair shake, I would say, with old DA as the coach. I think Jameis has got a little bit to prove here. I like Jameis this week. I love said Tilly. I would not be trading away said Tilly. I'd be trading for him. I got Jameis as QB13 this week, even though New Orleans is technically a bottom 15 matchup. They're like the 21st ranked matchup overall. I like the receivers. I like said Tillman. I like Njoku. Even Judy, to a certain extent, I think is playable this week ahead of guys like Jordan Addison, Rashad Bateman. Got him kind of back to back with Ricky Pearsall and Romeo Dobbs. I like Judy this week. I think this game actually has some low key stack appeal in GPPs.
You've just completely swayed my entire opinion on this game. I will be recalibrating my rankings. You can find them at southharmonff.com right now. I'm going to refrain from saying much because you've just had me completely rethink how this is going to go in a good way. So I appreciate that. Thank you. I will say this, though. Even coming into it, I had Cedric Tillman as wide receiver 16. He's sick nasty. He's sick nasty. The matchup's there. The cornerbacks suck. And this week, Cedric Tillman, I think he's poised to have a pretty big game today or this week. So I like Cedric Tillman. He's one of my top plays. But we'll keep it moving because I need to recalibrate. And this next game is maybe one of the best football games on the 1 o'clock slate. The Baltimore Ravens take on their division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a battle of 7-3 versus 7-2. Even though they have one more loss, the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites on the road, but the over-under of 48.5 is noise for us fantasy gamers. Let's start on the Steelers side of the ball because there's really not much to talk about, but let's just kind of map it out here. We're playing Najee. He's been pretty good over the last month. We're playing Pickens. He's clearly the number one pass catcher on the Steelers. But are we playing Russ? And are we going double dip at the running back position? Because last week we did see Jaylen Warren get a bunch of touches.
I don't know. That backfield threw me for a little bit of a tizzy last week, but I don't want to stay on that. I'm not going to believe in that trend until I see a real trend. I've been talking about this for 3 years with Najee and Jaylen Warren. I do think they even like Cordarrelle Patterson once he gets back to full health. But I think Warren is starting to create some standalone value. I just don't love it nearly as much as the standalone value that we get from other guys in the league, like, you know, Cam Akers to a certain extent, or even, you know, Tyler Allgeier is the real standalone value at the running back position as a backup. But I don't think you put Jaylen Warren in that bucket. I think he's closer to the Cam Akers bucket than anything in the backfield. This is a pure sicko game. The true black and blue game of the week. Pittsburgh 7-2 against the spread this year. Baltimore 5-4-1. Pittsburgh's got plus 6.4 against the spread this year as their average, which is phenomenal. They're literally tied for the best record against the spread this year with Detroit, both at 7-2, like I said. I don't know. I know Baltimore has been iffy on the road. They lost to Cleveland by 5 in the division. They only beat Cincinnati by 3. They only beat Dallas by 3. They lost to Kansas City by 7, and they had the one technical. If you're looking at outliers, the one outlier is Tampa. They beat Tampa by 10 in Tampa, but they gave up 31 points doing it. Mm-hmm. So they haven't been quite killers on the road as they have been at home. And this is a black and blue game. I like Russ. I like Pickens. Freiermuth, I'm getting cold feet on Freiermuth right now. He's got a top 10 matchup, number 6 matchup overall on the Roster Watch matchup tool. I think that's fine. I got him ranked kind of where I'm probably not going to play him. I'm probably going to, you know, play a Dawson Knox or Will Disley as a streamer option over a Freiermuth. They both have great matchups. They both have been getting targets. And, of course, Kincaid's banged up, so I like Knox over Freiermuth in that type of a situation. Mike Williams, I guess, would be my big question for you. And then Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson, is he even going to play? What was the deal with that? Is he...
So what I would say about Deontay Johnson is I am not putting him in my fantasy lineup, but I will put a little on whatever his overs are, and I would absolutely get him in a little bit of DFS exposure. Mike Tomlin said, you know, probably had the bar of the year when he basically told the reporters in Pittsburgh that he wasn't even going to worry about Deontay. He's going to go ahead and, you know, give his attention to players who actually play. It was a bar. Mike Tomlin's the man. Having said that, it would make sense for the Ravens to give him a little bit more. You want to keep him happy because, like it or not, dice it up any which way you want. The Ravens are going to need Deontay Johnson to overcome the AFC and win the Super Bowl.
I know this is one thing for a fact. I missed this up on Thursday night. I was talking to Alex about our picks on Thursday night for Underdog. And the Jahan Dotson thing that was laying out there was like 6.5 receiving yards or something like this. And how did we miss the revenge factor for Jahan? He didn't do shit. He had 2 targets, 1 catch, 8 yards. But it was the first play of the game. Petty Sirianni does a little boot. Throws the ball, or not a boot, it was like a flank bubble to Jahan Dotson. He picks up 8 yards. Do you think Baltimore is probably going to – they got to line something up for Deontay. They go, this guy's never healthy. We're not going to give him a big target share, but when we get to the red zone, we're going to give him an option route of some sort and a potential Deontay.
To get Deontay Johnson involved, you get the ball on the 3. You put – you know, you fake the handoff to Derrick Henry, and then you let Lamar take 2 steps to his right, like 2 shuffles, and pitch it 1 inch in front of him to Deontay. All of their skill sets align. It's a dynamic play. Of course they're going to do it. Listen,
Andrew's going this way. Henry faked this way. Lamar faked this way. Deontay's wide open. Touchdown.
A play that they probably ideally would run for Zay Flowers if the you know, it was nut cutting time. It was the time to win a game. But if this is quarter 1, if this is quarter 2, of course. Listen, you said it when we started talking about this game. It's a black and blue game. Black and blue games matter. They get emotional, and you do shit to prove you're superior to the other. And coaches love doing this too. Coaches is going to go, oh yeah, Mike Tomlin? Oh yeah, you don't think we got a good player in Deontay Johnson? Suck on this one, bitch. And Mike Tomlin's going to go, you don't let that motherfucker catch one goddamn football. And there, of course, is the game within the game within the game. But, plus, I mean, the Ravens have one of the best line of offenses in the game, so they could get shit going for Deontay. He's good enough. Eight targets, he's going to perform.
Plus 550 to score an anytime touchdown. The same odds the Steelers have of scoring a defensive touchdown for Deontay to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm taking it. And then I'm also taking first TD score because, you know, you want to get the tempo going. Yeah, you want to get juice, and you want to get the Ravens chirping. You get Deontay chirping. You get everyone chirping. They're all looking at Tomlin like, what's up? That's the type of shit you're going to see. Will it come to fruition? I don't know. You got to execute. It's a football game. But in my opinion, this is how I have it. And on the Ravens side, I don't need to bring any analysis. You're not playing Deontay. Okay, I got him at 55. So it's not like I'm sitting here saying he's a play. But you're playing Flowers. I'm at top 10. If you need desperation, go back to the Bateman well. It's been pretty fruitful. Andrews, still got Andrews inside my top 8. You're playing your Ravens. Don't get stupid. Don't get crazy. Next game we're going to talk about here, your favorite team, but it's a bit of a dud in terms of the name, so I'll let you just kind of get us through it with a bit of a quickness. The 7-2 Vikings head to Tennessee to take on the 2-7 Titans. Titans are 6-point home underdogs. Over-under 39.5 suggests that the Titans are going to keep it close because of their defense, but the Vikings are going to dominate given how nasty their defense is. So where do you want to take this?
I watched the Vikings last week live. I was at the Jacksonville game, and they allowed 117 total offensive yards to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which I didn't know this was a stat. I knew the stat because I was at the game. 117 total yards, 7 first downs, which I don't know. I could be wrong here, but I think TJ Hockenson had 7 first downs by himself in that game. 117 yards was the 5th least in Jacksonville Jaguars history, according to Michael Lombardi. Horrid. Again, Mac Horrid. Jones with the Q. Tennessee is dealing with a banged up Pollard. Spears is there. Really, it's just Calvin Ridley at the wide receiver position. I think the Vikings won't have a problem with one wide receiver. I think the one guy that does get targets, I talked about him a minute ago, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I think he's a sneaky play, I guess you'd say sneaky-er play, a guy that could end up with 5-6 targets. He could be like the Evan Engram of last week, that the game was not really out of hand, but they were getting shit stomped, Jacksonville was. And then it was just Darnold just kept throwing picks. I think the screenshot I had at one point was like 398 yards to 117, 24 first downs to 7 first downs. It was a shit stomping. And Tennessee is no better than Jacksonville. And Tennessee's got a better run defense than Jacksonville, worse pass rush, better DBs. Minnesota could turn the ball over a couple times in this game just because of the way Sam Darnold's been playing. But I don't think the Vikings have a problem with this game. The problem, I think, comes from the Tennessee side. Can Tennessee score? I don't know. I don't know if Tennessee can score. And you guys know how much I love Will Levis and whatnot, but I don't see how Tennessee scores in this game. So for all those things included, I got Jordan Addison at 48. I got our boy Justin Jefferson at 2 in the Tennessee side at wide receiver. Like I said, I'm probably a little bit lower on Calvin Ridley and a little bit higher on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And then in the backfield, Aaron Jones, I'm right middling. I got him at running back 14 overall. And then Tony Pollard at 26. And don't feel good about the Pollard side.
Yeah, I just wonder how much punishment they allow him to take. You know, he's been beat up. They've admitted they've had to use him more than they've wanted. And this defense is punishing. So I'm kind of with you there. I do have him ranked higher, but not much. I have Pollard at 22. So I'm a little bit nervous about Pollard. And, you know, relativity to how nasty he's been, how good he's been. But, yeah, this game for me feels like it's going to be a lot of like it was last week, except I do see a scenario where maybe Jones is a little bit more productive than he was last week. But I just think it's going to be a beatdown from the Vikings. It's a chance for Brian Flores and his unit to put a stranglehold on an offense that's really struggled all season. I do have, however, I have Ridley at 17. I think I need to drop him down a little bit. I know the volume might be there, but to me, it just feels like there'll be no time for Levis to throw. They're going to get after him. They blitz a ton. He's been awful in that regard. So for me, I think I might have to drop Calvin Ridley. You have to drop Calvin Ridley. Next game we're going to talk about is the first game on the 4 o'clock slate. The Atlanta Falcons are 6-4, and they head west to take on the 5-5 Broncos. Broncos are 2-point favorites at home. Over-under of 44 seems light. Kind of threw me off a little bit. This is coming off a 2 weeks ago where the Falcons were a 50-point over-under. And it feels like the Broncos have been game. So for me, I think this game has more shootout appeal than Vegas is letting on. What are your thoughts there?
I don't see snow in the forecast. Denver's got a good defense, and Atlanta's been scoring, and Atlanta's got a bad defense. I think this is a good game. Like I said at the jump, that I do believe all three of these afternoon games will have the tri-box going. Not quite ideal, but we'll have a tri-box with the Falcons, Broncos, Seahawks, Niners, and Chiefs, Bills. And this is probably the one that's going to get the least attention, but I will be paying attention because I want to see, you know, how London looks. I know he's not going to be quite 100%, but him against Sertan. And then outside of that, where do the targets go? Are we going to get a Pitts week? We're going to get some Darnell Mooney. That Ray McLeod prop that's sitting at three targets every single week or three receptions every single week. He just hits three every single week. So you kind of know exactly what you're going to get out of that. How's this run game look against Denver? This is a true middle of the pack match. I think these teams are about aligned on opposite sides of the league as far as AFC and NFC goes. I think they're equal parts, if that makes sense. Not that they're built the same or they are run the same, but they're just sitting in the similar spot on each side of the fence. I what did you say the line was in this one? 1.5 Broncos?
2 points for the Broncos.
2 points for the Broncos. Yeah, I mean, that's probably right, to be honest. It's probably going to come down to that field goal type of a situation. I guess my biggest question is just going to be this backfield in Denver. You know, last week, I think we were all caught with our pants down on Javonte and Audric Estime, and this thing kind of shifting. I wasn't quite ready for it. I mean, we kind of were talking about it at the beginning of the year. Like, we like Estime. He dealt with an injury, and then just wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. So I guess that's where I'll start with a question for you is where how do you have this running back rankings kind of spelled out in Denver? Because I got Estime at 30, Javonte 37, and then McLaughlin down in the 40s.
So I have it structured similar to that. The number is a little different. So I have Estime at 28, Javonte at 29. So I just split the difference there. I know the numbers suggest it's Estime and it's Estime with a bullet. I think projections are coming out too heavily, too confident in the turning of the tides. I mean, if Javonte comes out and runs off, you know, he gets the start, runs for 8 yards. Like, I don't know for a fact it's Estime. Now, if again this week it's all Estime, regardless of production, Estime is going to shoot up and be a top 24 guy, probably ROS, no doubt. But right now, I still need to see it because would you be shocked if Javonte gets 12 carries and Estime gets 6?
No, not at all.
Exactly. And even last week, with the predominant of like Estime dominated touches, he still didn't do diddly squat in fantasy. 5 fantasy points, didn't get any targets, ran at a good clip, but it wasn't really. It wasn't super exciting. It was exciting, wasn't super exciting. So I think my rankings kind of reflect that. And same things for the rest. I mean, I like Mooney. I like London. I like Pitts. I like Cortland Sutton. Don't like anyone else. I think they're all just like, who knows this week? Is it Vele going to catch a touchdown? Or is Troy Franklin going to get a deep target? How's it going to go? So I don't love betting on the Broncos. I do love Knicks this week, though. What do you have, Knicks?
Maybe higher than you?
I don't know. QB3.
QB3.
I am at QB7, so I was pretty confident in my height there. So, yeah. Yeah, I love Knicks this week. I love it. He's as true to fashion Konami code quarterback as you get, and this matchup is pretty soft. At home, I like this matchup. I like this matchup a lot for Bo Nix. Any thoughts here on the Falcons-Broncos before we move on?
No, I just said I think Nix is continuing to just, you know, stack weeks. And for our dynasty, you know, brethren, our dynasty game, our dynasty love, I think it's cool to see him stack weeks. They should have, could have, probably did win that game against the Chiefs in a different alternate universe, where a field goal is not blocked. But I think he's bobbed and weaved the season. I mean, literally the schedule hasn't been easy for the Broncos, and they're 5-5 at this point. You know, a tough game against the Steelers in week two, against the Mike Tomlin defense, Todd Bowles in week three, the Jets in week four. You get the Ravens, the Chiefs. Like, he's gone through a lot of tough defenses, and that's where he's faced, you know, three of his losses were the Ravens, Chiefs, and Steelers. I think I'm just impressed on Bo Nix stacking weeks, learning and growing with Sean Payton. And, you know, the schedule eases up here on out. So I think there's a real shot. They're 5-5. There's a real shot these guys could push towards the playoffs. Falcons, Raiders, Browns, catch a breather, Colts, Chargers, Bengals. I would say all six of those are winnable games.
Yeah, the trajectory of Bo Nix has been overwhelmingly positive. I would say pretty damn surprising, to be honest. And he's looking like the steal of Superflex rookie drafts, being able to get him at the end of round one, maybe even round two. Holy shit. We thought his value was that he would just play early. No, his value might be that he's playing, but he has upside early, which is not what we were expecting. But it is nice to see, because it's good to see some of these veteran college guys find success. Gives you hope for Penix in the future. Guys like Cam Ward coming out next year. So we're excited to see that for Bo Nix. This next game, though, is a bit of a banger. The records do not reflect how good of a matchup it is. It is an NFC West banger. The Seattle Seahawks travel to the Bay to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Battle of 4-5 versus 5-4, which is surprising. What's not surprising, though, over-under of 48. We're expecting a lot of points to be scored. But the Niners are 6.5-point favorites at home. Does that seem a little bit too much for you? Because it feels like too much for me.
Well, Seattle has been about as bad as it gets at covering the spread. The only two teams worse than Seattle this year is Tennessee, 1-8, Dallas, 2-7. Seattle's 2-6-1 on the year. San Fran's completely middle of the road, 4-5 as far as covering the spread. And when you think about these divisional matchups, dude, it's like Seattle, San Fran, to me, it has always felt like a punch in the mouth type of a game. And you never really know which direction it's going to go, no matter where it's played. If it's in San Fran or if it's in Seattle, same can go for the San Fran and the Ram games. I think that these two matchups are two that are always back and forth. So San Fran, again, they got back McCaffrey last week, and I was at the Vikings game, obviously, so I didn't watch McCaffrey live, but I just kept getting messages of McCaffrey looks like, you know, goddamn Toby Gerhart. And I was like, what? I don't know, but I went back and watched. I didn't think he looked like Toby Gerhart, but I don't know what the utilization is going to look like if he's not efficient in the run game. Other than we know he's going to get targeted, but is this how this offense is going to look? Are they just going to not run the football? I mean, last week, the running backs alone, literally McCaffrey had 13 carries for 39. Mason had one carry for 5 and Grando had one for nothing. So they had 15 carries for 44 yards. Is that a winning formula in the NFL? No. Is that a winning formula for the San Francisco 49ers? It did last week against Tampa, but that's not a winning formula on a consistent basis. So I think this is a tight game. I am not ranking McCaffrey as my number one running back this week. I'm not a coward like these other guys from Roster Watch, Trashman and Alex, who just lock him in at number one. Are you a coward?
Depends. I have him at running back 2.
See, I have him at 4. I'm not a coward. I'm not just going to put
him. I'm not a coward then. Yeah. No, I had him at, I was hesitant last week. I don't think I finished at running back 9, but I mean the 7 targets, 6 catches. It's just, and yes. And last week I would throw away a lot of the between the tackles, tape. It's Vita Vea, man. I mean, that guy can just destroy the interior of,
he's
of run games.
Something.
He's unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. This week they don't have that. They have Byron Murphy and he hasn't been healthy this year. So we'll see how that goes.
You were right last week, though. You had him at 9. He finished at 10. So
yeah, and it was the most bland 16 fantasy points you'll ever see. Touchdowns are always on the table for him. The numbers were in his favor. 19 total touches, over 100 yards from scrimmage. I mean, he's as dialed as it gets. But just him being dialed does not make him better than Bijan Robinson. So that's why I got Bijan at 1.
Do you like Pearsall this week?
I think I like him relative to the field, but I still am at wide receiver 32.
I got him at 41, but I kind of like him though. Like, I kind of want to move him higher. Like, there's like 6 dudes in front of him that I'm like, eh. If I'm setting my lineup, am I really going to set my lineup with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it when I was kind of looking into this breakdown was last week they went to the outsides a bunch. I don't think they're going to be have the success going to the outsides with their receivers. You know, Juwan Jennings playing that role this week with the big Tariq Woolen, Devon Witherspoon. I think the middle is going to be a little bit more in play. And Ricky Pearsall has looked awesome since he's been suiting up for the Niners. And Brock Purdy has shown confidence in him. He went to him twice to win the game in Tampa last week. I think Pearsall, you could put right into Ayuk's role. Whatever you had, your thoughts on Pearsall, I mean on Ayuk, and then you strip away the past, the resume, I think is exactly what you should have Pearsall. And I think that most weeks Ayuk was, he should have been ranked in the low 20s, but because he was Ayuk and he had all this, he's been good and he's been awesome. He always elevated himself to be the top 15. I think we see Pearsall comfortably in the top 30 and 35, and then it's going to be the top 30. Then it's going to be the top 25. And I think he'll just be a top 28 receiver, 28 to 35 weekly. He looked good. He looks good. And then of course, George Kittle, the only true difference maker at tight end this year. He's, you know, inside the top 10 and wins over replacement. He's a true valuable player, regardless of position, when tight end is just relatively a non-factor in fantasy football. When you're talking about to the relative crowd, the replacement level players. So I like Kittle that we in that game too. If DK plays, where do you have him this week?
I'm kind of going under the assumption that he will. So I have him in a spot. I got him at 18. Smashed basically between lower than Mooney and Tillman, but higher than Higgins and McLaurin. He's kind of smashed right between all those guys. But part of me, my brother-in-law texts me, he's like, DK or Higgins. He's also got McConkey on his team. So he's got, you know, a bunch of dudes that have been kind of banged up. And I was like, I think I would play Higgins, and I'm assuming Higgins plays at this point. And if he doesn't, I would just plug in McConkey. I just feel better about Higgins than Metcalf, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Where do you have JSN?
JSN is at 28.
Yeah, I still have DK higher too. I have 17 for DK, 23 for JSN. I don't know what I'm going to have to see for me to make the full-on switch weekly.
I'm kind of feel like a pussy too about it. I kind of feel like a pussy about it.
Me too. I feel like JSN, what he did before the bye was so big, but DK wasn't there. So you always have that thought. This is going to be the last week. If JSN looks like the alpha, I don't care if DK has a strong game as well. JSN will be ranked higher than DK probably rest of season almost every single week. I don't know what I have to see. I just know I haven't seen it yet.
When I see it, I'll know what it is, but I have not seen it.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's precisely right. Next game on the slate is another banger. The Kansas City Chiefs and their undefeated 9-0 record travel to Orchard Park to play the 8-2 Buffalo Bills. Over under 46, I think, is razor sharp. 2 points separate in terms of the spread. Kansas City getting 2 points as road underdogs. Start wherever you want, my friend, because this is the game of the week.
The road dog Billies. I kind of like Buffalo here. They're getting a point and a half, whatever it's going to be. Very quietly, you know, almost, I don't want to see the Chiefs going undefeated is not quiet. The Bills being 8-2 to me is quiet. It's very low key. Though they are, you know, at the stone top of the league right now, right aside Kansas City. They need this one pretty bad. But as far as the division goes, I mean, the division's all but locked at this point. They got like a 5-game heat on the Dolphins and the Jets and the Pats, who all have 3 wins. But as far as Buffalo, just Buffalo purely, they need this one bad. They got a bye next week. They've been on a streak. They've scored 30-plus points each of the last 4 games. Colts, Dolphins, Seahawks, and Titans. Not all, you know, amazing games or amazing teams, but they've gotten the job done. And that's the name of the game in the NFL and the SEC. Maybe not anywhere else, but at least in those two places, that's the name of the game. You can win week to week. That's what matters. And this Bill team has just continued to be interesting to me because, like, Mac Hollins is a donk. But he goes out there and has 80 yards. Josh Allen goes out there and throws 2 picks, and they still win. James Cook has just been one of the most low-key, you know, fantasy gamers all year, but I still can't get on board. Josh Allen continues to run the football and score touchdowns. Dalton Kincaid yet to really do shit, now he's hurt and he's officially out for this weekend. That we just got that update a few mere minutes ago from WGR 550, our good friends over there. I don't know. I don't understand this team. Curtis Samuel got back in on some heavy action. He had 8 targets last week, which was second on the team behind Khalil Shakir. It's a very interesting dynamic to me in Buffalo. So I got Josh Allen at QB1. I'm riding dirty with that. I got Patty Mac at 11. I'd like to hear your thoughts on James Cook. It's a brutal matchup, but matchups sometimes, you know, in divisional games and in like rivals like this, like a Bills Chiefs game, they don't feel like they mean as much. Like the top 5 defense, it doesn't really mean that much because these games get to the point where they could be high scoring, and it turns into the defense is on the field a little bit longer. They're a little more gassed. They're just not playing at that same level that you've seen them play throughout the last number of matchups. Bills Chiefs the last couple years, in the playoffs last year, of course the Chiefs won, but the Bills won the previous 2 games in Kansas City. They lost the one before that in Kansas City in overtime. They won the game before that 38-20. So they've won 3 of the last 5 games, all 3 of those being in season. The 2 they lost were postseason. And I think Buffalo's just in a spot, man. This is kind of the shit or get off the pot situation here, to kind of stop and three-peat, this legacy building undefeated season. If Kansas City can get through Buffalo here, I don't know if they can get slowed. I don't know if they're slowed down the rest of the year.
This game,
it's the season, it feels like.
For me, this game is the biggest game I think that neither team wants to care about. I think both teams don't care about this game so badly that they care about it. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but what I'm trying to say is the Chiefs have to now approach every week like they're not undefeated, because once they approach it like they're undefeated, they're done, right? That's the mindset we all know. If you've played any sport, you know when you're doing something special, you can't talk about it. You got to execute. The Bills have now beaten the Chiefs in the regular season a number of times, but have lost every matchup in the playoffs. That's why Josh Allen, the first question he had to answer was, is this week important? He said, no, it's just a normal week 11 game for us. Both teams want to not care about this so badly that it's going to make them care about it. And so I think we get a really good football game. James Cook was your question. I am at running back 18, but I'll say this. We are looking at one of the strongest running back years of all time. I don't know if the numbers support it, but I know weekly my rankings, I go 18. I can make the case he's running back 11, 12. I can make the case he's running back 28. I mean, it just feels like I like it. I know the matchup stuff. That's why I'm at 18. But I mean, he was the difference maker last year when they played in the regular season, caught that touchdown. I think he could go off. You're playing him. I mean, I got guys like Najee Harris at running back 20. I'm playing Najee Harris everywhere I had Najee Harris. I have Rico Dowdle at 21, and it's not a great matchup. I'm playing him everywhere I am. It's just relative to the position this year. So I don't like Cook because I have him at 18. I don't love him. But, of course, if I had him on my roster, I'm not, like, panicking looking for a streamer or make a trade. I'm just going to play him. I don't care what his projections are. He has the skills, and he's been used in a way that he might be awesome. And that goes the same way about almost every one of the pass catchers in this game, to be honest. I think the highest-ranked pass catcher overall is Khalil Shakir. I'm at wide receiver 19. But like Shakir, Amari, if Amari plays, like you could see Amari Cooper going for 80 and 2 touchdowns in this game, even though the matchup's not great. You can see Travis Kelce going 10 for 140 in a touchdown, because I think that this game, like I said, both teams don't want to care about it so badly that they're going to care about it a ton. So my rankings don't like this game. But like you said, we've seen these guys be low scoring. We've seen this matchup be a shootout. We've seen Gabe Davis go for over 200 in this matchup. I mean, anything is possible when you have two great football teams squaring off in a game that matters a ton. It does. Like you said, undefeated is in their grasp if they win this game. Legacy for the Bills, confidence for the Bills are right there. If they're 8-2, if they're 9-2 and the Chiefs are 9-1, they're right there at the behind the one seed. They're right there. After not playing the best football at a number of occasions this year. It's a big game for both teams. And like I said, neither one of them want to admit it so badly. They don't want it to matter, but it matters a ton. Anything you want to add on this banger before we move through the first primetime game of the week?
Let's do primetime, baby.
Primetime, this is kind of a, I think this is a bit of a letdown because of one team, but it could have been a banger. Cincinnati Bengals take on the Los Angeles Chargers, 4-6 versus 6-3. Bengals are getting a point and a half on the road, but the over-under 48 feels nice. What Ja'Marr Chase has been doing with Joe Burrow has been magical. You mentioned T. Higgins. Looks like he's a play. Are we just firing up all of our fantasy relevant players on the Cincinnati side?
I think so. Like I said, we just got also news on Higgins. Higgins is expected to play. Orlando Brown questionable. I'm going with the thought that Chase, Higgins are going to be the uno dos here. I got Chase as my wide receiver one on the week. I got Higgins. We just talked about kind of that area at which Tillman, Metcalf, Mooney, McLaurin. I got Higgins right there at 18. I know McLaurin already played. Sorry for the misspeak there. On the Cincinnati tight end room, Gesicki, Fade, Will Disley. I talked about a minute ago Dawson Knox and Will Disley as potential like streamers for the week. We got the news on Kincaid being out. Dawson Knox is 100% a hammer to stream this week in that Kansas City Buffalo game. And then Disley in this Charger Cincinnati game. I also like him on that side. The backfield, the question I had was Chase Brown, man, the props this week, dude, you know what his rush plus receiving yard prop was?
What?
You got any thoughts? If I said, set a number for Chase Brown rush plus receiving, what would you say?
I would say it's around 70, but I feel like it should be around like 90 to 100.
94.
Okay. That's so it's with my feeling, not my gut. That's fine. He's been awesome in that role. He's been fantastic. Last week was a tough matchup against the Ravens, and he ate.
So I'm probably low on Chase Brown. I got him at running back 20, but like you said, the running back has been so tough this year.
I'm at 16. It's just, what's the difference?
Who do you got him behind? So you got him like, do you got him like behind like Dobbins, behind Swift?
I have him ahead of Swift, one spot ahead of Dobbins. I have, so my 10 through 20, Montgomery, Hall, Walker, Hunt, Aaron Jones, Jacobs, Brown, Dobbins, Cook, Swift, Harris.
So you have Derrick Henry in the top 10.
Derrick Henry's number 7 for me.
Okay. I'm low on Derrick Henry.
I know the matchup doesn't look good for him, but
it's a big dog. This,
like, he's the big dog. The same principle for Tyreek. I have Tyreek at 8. You want my gut? You want me, how I play the game to reflect in my rankings? Those guys go berserk against any matchup all the time. Just because they haven't doesn't mean they won't, and I won't ever just fade them to oblivion.
Fair.
So, and in terms of on the Charger side, you're playing Dobbins. I don't love any singular pass catcher, but I love the quarterback. So I think one of them will hit, whether it be Palmer, QJ, Ladd. I'm not sure. I have Ladd obviously the highest. I like Ladd at wide receiver 16 this week. I love Herbert. What do you have, Herbert?
I don't think I love Herbert. I got him at 8.
I got him at 5. I love Herbert this week.
Okay.
But you have him at 8 without, like, with Jaden Daniels and Hurts in?
Yeah, I got Hurts at 2, Daniels at 7.
Right. So then he would move up 2 spots. So you have him at, because I took Thursday night already out of my rankings.
Oh, okay.
So I would have had him at 7.
Okay.
So you have him at 6, I have him at 5.
Okay. Same shit.
So, yeah, we're pretty high on this matchup. I think it's going to be fun. I think this is a game where the Bengals still want to keep fighting. They're the 9th seed. They still want to they still can make the playoffs. There is a path to them making the playoffs. And the Chargers, you have to expect a good brand of football week in and week out. That's the Harbaugh program. That is why the Bears fucked up so badly by not bringing in Harbaugh to change the culture, to change it all, to put them on track to be a good team. They went ahead and kept Bozo, and now they're all the clowns for the rest of the season. Last game on the slate could have been a lot better if Dak didn't have to go ahead and get hurt for the rest of the season. But the 6-4 Houston Texans stay in state to take on the 3-6 Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are 7-point home underdogs. Over under of 42 is down about probably 8 points if Dak was playing.
Fuck them Cowboys. I like Nico Collins, baby. I like Nico. That's it. Give me Nico.
What do you have, Nico? What do you have, Nick?
I like Nico. You like Nico. We like Nico. He like Nico. Stroud like Nico. Tank probably don't. We do. I got him at wide receiver 3, baby.
I got him at 5, so let's fire it up.
Let's ride. Let's ride. I absolutely love it. This game, this number is, it's, I think it's kind of like that Chase Brown thing where I just asked you a second ago. I was like, where do you got, you know, what's your thoughts on Chase Brown here? And it's like, this is Dallas, man. And Dallas always carries this weight of like, why do we see a seven with Dallas and go, yeah, Dallas is going to cover seven. And you're like, Dallas fucking sucks.
Dallas sucks.
Dallas is fucking bad. And I think Houston's also not good. I'm kind of coming around this. Houston's not really that great.
They're fraudulent.
But yeah, they're fraudulent. I mean, they've lost three of the last four. They barely beat the Colts. I think they're a little fraudulent, but I think the fucking Cowboys are just bad. They are home for a second straight week. We could see a better performance than we did last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought Philadelphia was going to absolutely smash them. I was begging for us to take this on Circle last week. We didn't take it. I think I might end up trying to beg to take Houston here. But in primetime, I'm not sure they get stomped. And seven's just a tight number for me. And like I said, I just can't convince myself. But as far as fantasy goes, I love Nico. Like I said, I'll say it three more times. Also got CeeDee Lamb at 10. Trashman's taking a bold state and having him at 18. CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver 18, which I don't quite agree with. Ferguson, I do think, gets some targets. It's a tough matchup against Houston, but I do got him as a tight end 15 overall, which is ahead of Freiermuth, who I've talked about before. I do love Joe Mixon. Also got him at running back 3 overall. And then the other one that, of course, everyone wants to talk about is Rico Dowdle. Where's Rico Dowdle at? Reese V, the rest of these backs in Dallas. I got him at 28, but I feel like he's playable. I feel like he is playable this week.
Yeah, I got him at 21. I think the dump offs will be there. I think doomsday is Trey Lance coming in. For everybody. I think when Trey Lance comes in and is the quarterback, Lamb is just, the bottom falls out on Lamb. And Dowdle, we'll see. Because I think what Dowdle is a guy that is going to get goal line and he's going to get checkdowns. That should keep him playable. Lamb got 10 targets, caught 6 of them for 20 yards. That's going to get better. Should have had a touchdown if it wasn't for that insane glare, which would have put him at about 15 fantasy points. You would have been okay with that. Rush keeps the offense down to 2 players. I think Trey Lance tanks the whole thing. So this week, I'm hoping Cooper Rush can play good enough, keep at least let them cover. If you lose like 17-13. Like, make it close. Defense step up. Micah hopefully steps up after kind of having to put his foot in his mouth last week with the comments he made about the coach and staff and how it was kind of blown out of proportion and taken out of context and all that shit. So I hope he comes out and plays well, because I do think when Trey Lance is on the field, poof, there goes CeeDee Lamb's double-digit targets. As long as Rush is on the field, you're getting 10 targets. And with that, could it turn into 8 for 80 and a touchdown? Could it turn into 9 for 110 and 2 touchdowns? Yes, we saw it in 2022 with Lance. I think we just bring it all down, because he's going to run around and he's going to scramble and it's going to be a shit show. And that is what we are hoping we can avoid at all costs. And if you're a playoff team in fantasy, the second you hear that he's starting quarterback, you put CeeDee Lamb on the block. If you want to win this year, you put him on the block. I have Lamb in my home league. I put him on the block this week. People did not come correct. I got really strong offers. Really good value in terms of the dynasty, the portfolio sense, but in terms of what was going to start weekly on my team, I just wasn't ready to take the cluster over. I wasn't ready to take the value over the player just yet. But if Lance comes in, I'm taking the value, because I don't think that the ceiling will be there for Lamb. But this week, I'm giving one last chance. I am at wide receiver 6, I'm just below Nico, so I have him high. 10 targets is undeniable for me. I think this week we see at least a decent game where they can keep him off Derek Stingley for the most part.
I think that's fair.
But yeah, big week for fantasy in terms of the Dallas Cowboys and what we can expect over the rest of the season. But that's it. That's the show. Week 11 in the books. Cody, what you working on? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Cody Carpentier. Everything is at South Harmon, Roster Watch, or Orange Bloods. We got a nightly show on Orange Bloods, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch me there every single night. You can drop any question you want over rosterwatch.com, and you can find the best show in fantasy football and just in life, The Hurdle, on South Harmon's YouTube channel every single Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, with my main man, Matty Kiwoom.
Yes, sir. And you can find me on X at Matty Kiwoom. the game plan every Sunday at 10 a.m. Be there or be square. We get you ready, get you game planning to win your weekly matchup. And then, of course, starter shit starts at noon. Everything else, South Harmon, head over to southharmonff.com. Join the community. Get the Warp Tool. It is the best fantasy tool in the world. Get the Warp Tool at southharmonff.com. Become a member of the Discord and become in the Patreon, patreon.com/southharmon. Get the rankings, articles, all that good stuff. He's Cody Carpentier, and I'm Matty Kiwoom. We will see you as we walk through week 12. Peace. Through.